Hallelujah. We praise and thank God that we commence our last class of the seminar. So let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 9, verse 31. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. So we know one thing in the book of Acts, that the Lord added many members to the church, many people to the church. And the reason to be able to add more people to church because of the action, right, of the chosen one during that time. Just like in Acts chapter 2, right? Starting from verse 38, Peter and the disciple baptized 3,000 people. And then 7-8 verses later, the Bible said, God added to those who being saved daily to the church. Why? Because during that time, they hold steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and in prayer. So because of this, they were full of love. So that's why every possession they have, they sold it, then they put it together. And whoever needs anything, they will provide for them. This means they had complete love for one another. And because of this strong love, God be able to perform great miracles and signs. And because of this miracle and sign, fear came upon many people. And because of this, many people came to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So it's very interesting, right? And the same thing later on, when God added more number to the people, and the Bible said fear came upon the people, that's why they were baptized. But nowadays, every time we do things, we want to compromise, right? Make people happy. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But if making that people happy and compromising go against the way we preach the gospel according to the Bible, then we should not compromise. Yes, for sure, when we have true seek come to a church for the first time, we do our best to explain the prayer to them. But we must kneel down and pray. Because kneel down and pray, that is the power to move their hearts to come to belief. But we must have faith. So that's why all these people came to believe in Jesus Christ. Not because the disciple conformed to them, but the disciple transformed them. Those are two different things, right? The same thing for you and I. If we want to invite friends to come to church, we don't conform to the things that they do, and then we want to become their friends in that way, hoping for them to come to know Jesus Christ. No. If they live in a life of sin, then for us, we must transform them, right? Share with them. So by this, we would know. If they come to church, they come for the truth. When they come to church, they can see that we are good Christian, that Christ lives inside of us. And then we can see here in chapter 9, right? In chapter 9, during this time, Paul was converted, right? And after his conversion, he was very zealous to preach the gospel. But the problem is, that time was not his timing yet. So that's why when he preached, he brought so many persecution that come upon him, that came upon the church. So that's why the disciple decided, let's send this person back home, right? Let him cool down a little bit, right? But during that time, you can see, Paul did not say anything. If you were Paul, what would you do, really? If Paul did not have a heart of humility, he would say, look, God the one that called me to preach to the Gentile, right? Personally, he called me to be an apostle. Who are you guys that sent me home? Of course he can say that. But if he would have said that, this means Paul does not have a heart of humility. So the same thing for us. Right now at your age, the most important thing you must do is cultivate yourself. Because there will be one day when God yell out, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then you and I, after cultivating ourselves, after we be filled with God's Spirit, we can say, here am I, send me. But make sure we are ready. So that's why Paul, they sent him back to Tarsus, that is his hometown. And that in Tarsus, how many years he was there for? How many years? They estimate between 12 to 14 years in that time. between 12 and 14 years. And during those times, he was cultivating himself, right? Get to the point that God showed him paradise, the third heaven. And then one day, when the gospel was being spread, then Barnabas was thinking, hey, where is Paul? Then Barnabas went out to seek for Paul. He found Paul. Then Paul, during that time, right? When did Paul's name became Paul instead of Saul? When? When did Saul became Paul? Did he become Paul right away after his conversion? No. When did it become Paul in the book of Acts? When he became Paul? I'm sorry? 13 verse 9. Right? You can see why now, verse 9, right? Chapter 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, right? Now, they say his name is Paul, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit, look intently at him. So here, when did he become Paul? After what? After what? After he's filled with the Holy Spirit, okay. Before that, what happened before that? Remember, in the early time, right, we just read in chapter 9, right? Did the church send him out to preach? Did the church send him out? No. The church did not send him out. But after his conversion, he was zealous to go out and preach. But here in chapter 13, look at chapter 13, right? Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away, right? And look at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from them they sailed to Cyprus. So you see here, right? Yes, the church laid the people, the prophets in time, laid hands on them, sent them out. This means what? They are apostles, right? Send them out with great commission. And during this time, as they sent them out, even though outwardly, the Bible said, verse 3, right? Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them out. But in reality, who sent them out? In verse 4, in reality, who sent them out? Yes, the Holy Spirit. So that's why he says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. This is very important. Right? So here, maybe 12, 14 years later, Paul came back. And now the church felt that he was ready to go out and preach to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit moved the people's heart to lay hands on Paul and Barnabas. Then they sent him out. So that's why obedience is very important. Yes, you can go out and preach anywhere you want and do whatever you want, but it's according to God's will. But only when you are sent by the church. Right? Only when you are sent by the church. That you can truly have the Great Commission, the authority from God. So even though sometimes when we get older, we can be zealous, right? Just like Paul. We want to go out and preach. We want to do this. We want to do that. That is fine. But make sure you be obedient to the church. You be obedient to the church. So that's why, yes, we have the Holy Spirit after we are baptized. But we cannot just do whatever we want to do. Right? We must listen to the church. Why? Because the church are the governing body that God has appointed. Right? Just like the GA. Just like the General Assembly. Right? You know, when I pretty much was moved to become a pastor, and the GA, I applied for TTP in the GA, right? And after I became a GA pastor, this means whatever the GA tell me to do, right, I will do. When they tell me jump, and I say what? How high you want me to jump? Okay? That's how it is. That's obedience, right? But of course, if they tell me to worship idols, I would not do it, right? Let's go against God's teaching. But for example, if tomorrow, I just bought a house in Dallas, right? If tomorrow the GSA booty, we want you to go to the East Coast, what can I say? What should I say?
I say, no, I just bought my house. Come on, give me a break, right? No, I just say, okay, fine. Right? I'll go to the East Coast. The same thing when I just bought a townhouse in San Jose, right? Because I was expected to be there 6 more years. But then 2 years later, the GA said, oh, you got to go to Dallas. You got to go to Texas. Then I sold my house. I lost $75,000. Right? Because at the time, the market just crashed, right? At that time, we were going to move out, right? But it's okay. It's not a big deal. Why? Because I'm going to Dallas, not because of my own will. Because of God's will. If it's God's will, God will fix everything. Really. So God allows us to buy a house. Really. I'm talking about 2 minutes drive from the new church can be built, right? 2 minutes drive. And I didn't even know. When I bought the house off the internet, right? My wife and I, we kneel down and pray. And we look at the house. Oh, this house looks good. Let's buy it. Then after buy, I sent Dave Lowe, right, the address. And Dave's like, do you know your house is right next to the church? We can walk there on the Sabbath, but not in the summertime. It's too hot, right? It's like 105 degrees over there, right? So we couldn't believe it, right? We couldn't believe it. Now my wife just got a job 5 minutes drive from the house. She comes to lunch, home for lunch every day. No, when she called me, oh, I'm coming for lunch, right? So I'm expecting for her, you know, like later on to come for lunch. 5 minutes later, she's home. I'm like, oh, you're home already. Because I'm not used to it, right? When you come home for lunch, usually I just wait for her, right? But 5 minutes, she's home, right? Why? Because what I'm saying to you, be obedient. Obedience is power. Just like Paul. Paul, he was obedient to the disciples. Even though God had chosen him to be a special vessel. But he also needed to learn humility. In other words, here, all these years, the church grew, right? Did the church need Paul to grow? Did the church need Paul for it to grow? No. Just like the church did not need me, did not need Sam, did not need Pastor Ho, did not need none of you to grow. But it's a blessing for God to use us to part of the growth of the church. But at the same time, don't think we are somebody. Really. Tomorrow if I'm gone, nobody cares, really. Yeah, maybe for the first month, oh, poor Woody, right? Poor Vui, maybe the first month. After that, nobody cares. Everybody goes on with their lives. Really, it's like this. But God cares. So that's why we always must be faithful to God. And be more obedient, right? Be obedient from home. That is your parents. Your parents would never tell you to do things that's not beneficial to you unless they tell you to break God's commandment. Right? If they tell you, right, to go and buy a dragon statue and put in a house, then you must say, oh no, it's not good, right? Because it's like an idol, right? But beside that, a lot of parents teach us things to do that is good. Learn how to be obedient. Be obedient. If Paul can be obedient, you and I will be too. For me, there's no doubt because of his obedience, that's why God can work with him. Okay? Just like for all of us, really. Continue to be obedient. Because of this, the church continued to grow, even though Paul wasn't even there. But officially, he became Paul after the disciple lay hands on him, sent him with great commission to go out and preach the gospel. Then he became Paul. So that's why for a lot of you, who knows that you can become the great pillars, right, of church? We do not know yet. But right now, you have to learn to be submissive. Learn to be obedient. Learn the heart of humility. All these things are very important. Because after you serve God for many years, you feel you know everything already, right? You know everything already. You feel that, you know, nobody can teach you anything. And that's the time you should reflect upon yourself, that you become too proud. And after being proud, the next step is God going to cut us down. So please, young brothers and sisters, because a lot of you, right, are gifted, right? A lot of you can do many things, right? Look how many of you can play the piano so beautifully, right? So wonderful, right? I tried to learn piano several times. I always gave up. I have no gift for playing piano or singing, right? So that's why when I hear you guys sing, it just sounds so beautiful, right? Sounds so beautiful. So be submissive, be obedient. God will use us in due time, right? Don't step before God, right? Don't step before God. Wait for God's timing. But the waiting time is so crucial to cultivate ourselves. Just like Moses, right? Moses is 40 years in the palace.
Was he smart when he's at 40 years old? Yes, he's very smart. Because the Bible said, right, he have learned in all wisdom, right? He knows. He's very smart. But the problem, he was not ready. It took God train him 40 more years to be ready. Right? So 40 years old, he left the palace. And 40 years, he was a shepherd. And then 40 more years, he led the people. So every year that he lead the people, it takes 1 year of training. Right? And on the end, for him, he can't even see the promised land. Right? Poor Moses, right? He can't even see the promised land. I mean, he saw it, but he didn't go into it, right? But nevertheless, God used him mightily. Can you imagine if you have to lead the 2 million people complaining and grumbling, right? Where's my leeks? Where's my meat? Where's my this? Where's my that? Right? Oh, you go crazy, right? Go crazy. But if you're humble, right? If you're humble and be obedient, then God will work with us, okay? What about the next one? Next one. Where is the next one is growth after that? What's that? Right? Now after this one, of course, 10, right? Chapter 10. Cornelius' household were added, right? And why did Peter be able to preach to Cornelius? Why? 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 Why he was able to preach to Cornelius? Through the Holy Spirit, right? Through the Holy Spirit. And after Cornelius, in chapter 11, verse 14, right? No, it's chapter 7, chapter 11, verse 14, it says what? This is when Cornelius' household was being saved, right? Then now, let's go to Acts chapter 15. Chapter 15. I'm sorry, chapter 16. Chapter 16. 16, verse 4 and 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 4 and 5. And as they went through the city, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostle and elders of Jerusalem. Verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in numbers daily. So here, why did the members increase here in chapter 16? Why did the members increase? Why did the members increase? What was the problem before this? What was the problem before this? Brothers, sisters? What was the problem before this? What was the problem before this? Why did they have to send out a decree? What's that? Yes, circumcision. What was the problem with circumcision? What about circumcision? Yes. Here, chapter 15, right? Chapter 15, verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, as certain others of them, should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 3. So being sent out on their way by the church, see again, right, by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentile, and they caused great joy to all the brethren, right? And then verse 4, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostle and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them, right? Verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Can you imagine, right? All these years, but for many years, God said, my people, the sign of my people is to be circumcised. Now, when the Gentiles start to believe, and then they say, there's no more circumcision. So this is a big problem. What kind of problem? Doctrinal problem. Right? Doctrinal problem. So if they don't resolve this, then it would be very difficult for the church to grow. So that's why in church, right? If any one of us have any doubt about the basic beliefs, we must not go around and cause problem, right? But rather, search in the Bible, right? Talk to the ministers. Why? Because if there's dissension in the church about doctrine, we cannot grow. But here, because of this circumcision situation, what did they do? The apostle, the elders, got together in Jerusalem. Then they prayed, and then they discussed, dispute about circumcision. And then they came out with a conclusion, right? The conclusion is that, let's chapter 15, right? 15, verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So in other words, they say the conclusion is there's no circumcisions. Why? Because Christ died on a cross already, and baptism is the circumcision of the hearts, is the new circumcision. So they came to this conclusion. So they sent out a decree to all the churches, and then what? And then the church received this decree from the apostle, from Jerusalem, then the church was strengthened. And their faith was strengthened. Because of this, they increased plentifully. So that's why it's very important, right? So when the GA sent out a letter, for example, to a church, the reason they sent it out, they must have prayed about it already, right? They must came up with a decision already. So this means for us to obey. If we obey as a church, then of course, the church will grow. Why? Because if the GA come out with a resolution about certain things, right? This means if they make mistake, who will judge them? Who will judge them? You and I? No, who will judge them? God will judge them. God will judge them. And the GA, right? We have senior ministers, right? We have deacons. So they're all workers of God. So this means when they make some kind of resolution, we as a whole church must learn to be obedient. Just like if the GA sent me somewhere to go, right? If tomorrow they say, okay, I must go to New Jersey, right? Then if God does not want me there, then they send me there. So whose fault is it? Is it my fault? Of course it's not my fault. It's the GA's fault. But the thing is, they have the answer to God, right? So there's a kind of faith you and I must have. Just like when Isaac, right, seeing Abraham, his father, about to slay him, right? But Isaac was so obedient. Why? Because he had faith in his father, knowing that his father had faith in God. So the same thing for us. So for example, in Dallas, right, some of the new believers, they have problem with eating pork and shrimp, right? Why? Because they feel those things are unclean. So when before they got baptized in our church, we never explained to them very clearly that in our church, it's not unclean to eat pork and shrimp. So because of this, there's always some kind of dissension between members, right? Because sometimes we order food that have pork in it, then the new members who eat pork gets upset, right? So sometimes our members who don't eat pork, why do we have to order food with no pork, right? We love pork, right? And we like shrimp, right? So it caused problem. So the last time, we came up with a resolution, okay? So we meet, you know, with the members, or the members' representative who feel that pork is unclean, right? Or shrimp is unclean. So we say to that person, look, okay, our church do not believe, okay, that pork and shrimp is unclean. We believe it's okay to eat it. But then we said, if you feel that eating pork, right, and shrimp, unclean, polluted, defile our body, right, this is a serious matter. So this means it's not only will defy your body, it will defy all the members' body in TJC. So every TJC in the whole world Also must not eat shrimp and pork, if this is truly God's teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? So in other words, we told him, okay, if you feel like this, if our church already have a resolution, it's okay to eat pork, it's okay to eat shrimp. But if you don't believe that, and then you must write a proposal. Write a proposal to the GA. The GA will pass it down to the True Research Committee. Then the True Research Committee will once again take a look at this clean and unclean food, right? But if the GA came out with a resolution, if the True Research Committee come out with a resolution, a pork is unclean and shrimp is unclean. So every church in TJC must not eat pork in the United States and must not eat shrimp. Okay, that's one thing. If they make a resolution that it's okay to eat pork and shrimp, this means you can no longer go around and say and talk to other members that pork and shrimp are unclean. Why? Because this is not a TJC beliefs. So, but we share with them, before you got baptized, our members should explain to you that very clearly, so you know. Why? Because to them, anyone who eat pork and shrimp, they become defiled, right? So, of course, that's not a good way. Why? Because that's not TJC's teaching. That's not what we believe. So that's why it's important, before people are baptized in our church, we must explain to them our doctrines. If they don't believe the doctrine of one true church, then why would we encourage them to baptize in the church? There's no point. If they don't believe baptism will save a person, there's no point for them to be baptized in the church. Why? Because we are members of this body. The reason we are members of this body, why? We have the same God, the same Lord, the same faith, the same baptism, right? The same Spirit. That's why we are brothers and sisters. So that's why when true seekers are not ready to be baptized, they will have question. They will have doubt that maybe they don't believe in baptism. No, in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in foot washing. But if they don't believe, this means you and I must continue to pray for them and continue to encourage them. Because baptism, it takes only a few minutes. But after baptism, the journey to heavenly kingdom, it takes a whole life long. So that's why it's important. That's why it's important to remember. If you and I have any kind of problem with the church, don't go around talk to other brothers and sisters. Right? Especially when it comes to doctrinal stuff. We write and send a proposal, right? And the GA always encourage proposal. If we have any kind of, any situation that we feel, especially when it comes to doctrinal. And after the proposal, then you and I must accept the resolution, just like in the church here. Yes, they have the doctrinal problem with circumcision. But after the church came with a resolution, everyone agreed, everyone feel this is moved by the Holy Spirit, then that's why the church continued to grow. This is a very important concept. Okay? Especially one day you become council members. Right? You become those who prayed if a person get baptized or not. We must do everything according to God's will. Yes, we want everybody to be baptized very quickly. But after baptism, are they going to stay in church? And that's when basic doctrines come into play. Right? Remember, when Jesus Christ performed, right, a great miracle of multiplying the fish and the bread, and not long after, right, maybe a couple of days later, then many disciples follow him no more, right? Remember that? Then he also asked Peter, right, and the disciple, are you also going to leave me? Are you also going to leave me? What did Peter say? What did Peter say? Remember, what did Peter say? Anybody remember? What did Peter say? Sisters? Yeah. You're smiling, so you must have the right answer. Yes. So the first he said, Lord, whom shall we go? Then he said the reasons why, right? And then he said why. Okay, let's turn to the book of John. John. Chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 67 to verse 69. John chapter 6, verse 67 to 69. Didn't you say to the 12, do you also want to go away? Verse 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here, Peter said, Lord, whom shall we go? And his first reason why is that you have the word of eternal life. And that's why he wanted to continue to follow Jesus Christ. So that's why when we want people, new believers, to stay in true Jesus Church, there's one reason they can stay. If they truly know the truth. If they truly know the church, we truly know the way of salvation. That's why Peter, right? The reason he said that, because he said, whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. So that's why new believers, so important for you and I, to stress the basic beliefs to them, to stress the truth to them. For me, right? I've been in Christ for 14 years. And these 14 years was not easy. But you think I would ever go to other church? No. Why? Because, you know, because all our members in TJC are so loving and so kind, right? Is that it? Because all you got, everybody speak English all the time, right? No, none of those reasons. The reason why, because this church has the word of life. There's no doubt about that. So we must focus on that. So don't focus outward appearance, how our brother and sister act, right? And how the older generation act. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the truth. So here, so when Peter said, you have, right, the word of eternal life. Then the second thing he said, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So in other words, for new baptized members, if they come to our church and they truly know the truth, they also will know that Jesus Christ abides with us. They will truly know that. If they know those two things, that this church has the truth, and this church truly has the abiding of our Lord Jesus Christ, where would they go? Where would they go? They wouldn't go anywhere. There's a brother in Hawaii, right? And he used to be a Sunday Adventist. When he came to our church, he was so moved by the basic doctrines. Because he shielded me, right? Because in a Seventh-day Adventist, they baptize in the name Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? So one time he was talking to our church members. And our church members asked him, can you read 28:19 in Matthew? Then he read, you know, go and make disciples of every nation, right? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then the members asked him one question. What is the name? Then he's like, what are you talking about? You see here, what is the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit? Then this brother told me, when the brother asked him what is the name, and after say, what is the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Then all of a sudden, he just felt the hand of God open his mind to realize, wow, the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. And from then, he got baptized and everything, right? Then after that, of course, a trial and tribulation, many other reasons, he left the church. But when he left the church, did he go to any other churches? Did he go to any other churches? What do you think? No. He said, I know that I'm weak in my faith. I know that, you know, sometimes I struggle, but I would never ever leave TJC and go to another church. Because only this church has the truth. And he's like 54 years old, right? And he's been in Seventh-day Adventist for many, many years. But he knows that church has the truth. So that's why, brothers and sisters, you also must have this kind of faith. When we have this kind of faith, then we can preach to others. And they also can be moved by the Spirit of God. Right? So here, let's go back to Acts 15. So, if we want to preach to others, we must believe that the basic doctrines in our church, they are perfect. We must believe that the doctrines in our church have salvation. If we have any doubts, pray about it, right? And ask the ministers in our church about it. Why? Because we've been practicing this kind of, you know, basic beliefs for many, many years. If anyone finds any faults in the basic doctrine, and then you can write a proposal, right? And this to see. But if you find any faults in men, and that is very normal, it's very natural. Because you and I have weaknesses. So don't look at men and then say the doctrine is false. No. The doctrine is always true. But men, quite often, we cannot practice what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. So this means don't leave the church, right? Because of men. Because that doctrine is always the same. Please remember this, right? And then, notebook of Acts, right? So after chapter 15, you can see very few people. Chapter 16, there's another family member, a jailer, came to know Jesus Christ, right? After that, there's no more. There's really no more believers that added to the church. Because during that time, what they had to do, right, is to defend their gospel, right? They had to do apologetics, right, during that time. So that's why Paul, he was brought in, you know, front of the king, in front of this, in front of that, right? Why? Because he needed to defend the gospel during a time. And that is, that their glory faded away already since then, right? And then in 1917, right? Then the glory started to start back up. And now the glory is at the peak with this generation, with our generation. But we must be the one. Because there's no doubt on the end days, our church will be the most glorious church. But the big question is, are we going to still be in church? Are we going to be Christian soldiers for our Lord Jesus Christ? Because waiting for the church to be glorified, sometime during the waiting period is very difficult. Just like, when did the Israelites build a golden calf? When? When did they build a golden calf? Yes, when Moses is on top of the mountain, right? And they wait for him for so long, right? They're saying, where is this man? Did he die already, right? So then they say, oh, let's make ourselves a golden calf and call it God. So now as we're waiting for our church to be glorified, we're waiting for Lord Jesus Christ to come again. This waiting period is not for us to commit sin against God. Not for us to build a golden calf inside our heart, but for us to cultivate ourselves. Because when God come back again, when this church will be glorified, then it will separate, right? Just like Moses separate, right? Whoever is for God, come this way. Whoever is not, the other way. And then what happened? The earth split and devoured those who are not with God. So on the end days like this too, brothers and sisters. So that's why, right now, make determination, what side are you on? You cannot be on both sides. Either we with the world or with our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we going to be with this church or with another church? We must make a determination. And I hope you do. And make a determination. That when we get older, right? Maybe when I'm 50, 60 years old, and you guys will be my age, right? And I can see you preaching and fighting for Lord Jesus Christ. I can see all of you, right? And hopefully I can be around too, right? God is willing, right? Because I don't know what can happen to me also, right? But each day I live to glorify the name of God. Because it's the day that God has given to me. The same thing for all of you. So that's why when you go back to your local churches, be an example. Even though we are young, don't think we cannot do anything. David slain Goliath, even though all the warriors were so afraid of him. David was only a youth. You and I can do the same thing, right? And then we have to go through one more thing about the book of Acts. That filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Many times the Bible said the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know we are filled with God's Spirit? How do we know? How do we know we are filled with God's Spirit? When a person prays really loud, are they filled with God's Spirit? What's that? Speak in loud tongues? Speak it in tongues? So the minute we speak in tongues, we are filled with God's Spirit? How do we know we are filled with God's Spirit? How do we know? Yes? Okay. Okay. So this mean what then? This mean if someone says something to you, this mean you what? You feel okay, right? Even though you don't take it personal and stuff like that, right? Let's go to the book of Acts. We have five more. Oh, we don't have five more minutes. I think it's 10, right? Is it 10 of them? Yeah. So it's 10:10. So we have 1 minute. Okay, being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It's, let me share with you. Go to chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So here Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was full of faith. Right? Full of faith. So it is one sign of being filled with God's Spirit. This means full of faith. This means no matter what's going on around us, we always look upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We always have faith in Lord Jesus Christ. We always know that this church is the body of Jesus Christ, and this church one day will be glorified. This is faith, if you're filled with God's Spirit. And because of this faith, of course, we can perform many great wonders and signs, right? Look at verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. So here, right, Stephen was disputing, right, against the people who accused him of, you know, speaking the wrong thing. So, but say here, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. So in other words, if you and I are filled with God's Spirit, we be filled with wisdom. And this wisdom is from above. It's not worldly wisdom. This is the wisdom that's from above. So in other words, when people want to discuss with us about the truth, we would have such wisdom, right, to answer them, to respond to them, to encourage them. This is wisdom, right? And then look at verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel, right? I never personally saw a face of an angel myself, right? But people have seen vision of angels and stuff like that, right? But here, Stephen, even though people were mad at him, yell and scream at him, right? But when they look at his face was just like an angel. What's that mean? If someone scream and yell at you, right? And your face look like a face of an angel, what's that mean? Most of the time, if your parents yell and scream at you, right? What is your face is like? Like an angel? Hopefully, it would be nice, right? Your parents yell and scream at you, and then you are like an angel, right? But actually, quite often, when this happens, we usually get very angry, very upset, right? Our face will not be like a face of an angel. Just we have a face like the devil when we get angry, right? Just like one brother doing one NYTS. He was so angry, and he was yelling and screaming. Then when he turned around, right, and the youth saw his face just like a demon, right? Just like a demon. Of course, during that year, there's many demon disturbance, right, during that time. But a face of an angel, this means he's full of peace. Even though they yelled and screamed at him, he was full of peace. So when you and I are filled with God's Spirit, really, we're always full of peace. Even though trying tribulation around us, we're still full of peace. These are be filled with God's Spirit. Right? Then let's go to chapter 7, verse 54 to verse 56. This is another one to be filled with God's Spirit. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, verse 56. And said, look, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man stand at the right hand of God. Here, Stephen, he was stoning to death. As he was stoned to death, he knew he was going to die. But he looked into heaven. When he looked into heaven, what? He saw the Son of Man stand at the right hand of God, and the heavens open. So what does this mean? If you and I are filled with God's Spirit, we're always full of hope. No matter what. And this hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. So that's why when Stephen, right before he died, he knows his hope is not in this world. That's why when the heavens open for him, he knows that Jesus Christ is the one that's waiting for him. Right? Jesus Christ is waiting for him. So when you feel God's Spirit, we are full of hope. Okay, let's go to the last one. Verse 57 to verse 60. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Verse 58. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And their witnesses laid on their clothes on the feet of the young man named Saul. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60. Then they kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So another sign of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit is full of love. Even though his brother, even though his own people stoned him to death. And why? Because he wanted to preach the gospel to them. So even though he was stoned to death, with his last breath, he asked God to forgive him for their sin. And this is great love. So that's why, remember this. If we're not filled with God's Spirit, quite often we have no faith. If we're not filled with God's Spirit, right? Quite often we have no wisdom to answer what is right. If we don't feel with God's Spirit, we feel no peace. If we don't feel with God's Spirit, we feel no hope. If we feel with no God's Spirit, we feel like what? No love. So, praise and thank God. We must strive for this, to be filled with God's Spirit. So we can be full of faith, right? Full of wisdom, full of peace, full of hope, full of love, so our church will continue to grow. So may God bless all of you. Let's bow and pray in silence.